We on Love Maine Radio enjoy bringing the pages of Maine Magazine to life. And today that's just what we're doing as we speak with Matt DeGrandpre, who is the farm operations manager at Wolfsneck Farm. Born and raised in Freeport, Wolfsneck Farm has always been a part of Matt's life. His grandfather Charlie moved the family up to Maine in the late 1960s from a dairy farm in Massachusetts and immediately began transforming and managing the farm. And the reason I say that we're bringing the pages of Maine Magazine to life is that you were actually featured in an article that was written by Sandy Lang and photographed by Peter Frank Edwards that's in our upcoming issue. So you're a star. Thanks for coming in. We're so lucky to have you.
You're welcome.
This is a little different than what you normally do on a day-to-day basis
as
a farm operations manager. Mm. Tell me what that looks like.
Well, I was welding about 30 minutes ago, so it's, you know, it kind of gives me a little bit of a variety of what all of the things that I've learned in the last, you know, 10 or so years kind of following around my dad and my grandfather and my uncle. So it allows me to do the things that I love, and that's auto mechanics as well as some carpentry and plumbing and heating and electrical and stuff like that. So my day-to-day kind of chore list is just keeping the farm a safe place for people to come and enjoy as well as a beautiful place and maintain it so that we can get the same quality of product out to the customers that they want. And things change after years, so it's a big property to take care of.
It's a beautiful place.
It is, yes.
It's a pretty great place to work, to be able to look out there, and you have the fields, you have the woods, you have the ocean, you have the animals.
Absolutely.
So what is that like in the winter?
Well, the winter is kind of a quiet time on the farm. A lot more activity, you know, with people cross-country skiing and snowshoeing in the campground, but it's also pretty quiet in the barn. It allows us to be able to kind of bring power tools in and start making upgrades to the barn, just because we don't have as much foot traffic, and it's a lot colder, and of course with all the snow we've had this year, we've just spent a lot of time making these kind of the wintertime upgrades. So our chore list that we've kind of held off between, you know, haying season and the busy season allows us to do those sorts of things in the wintertime.
The first time that I went to Wolfsneck Farm, I believe I was bringing my oldest, who's now 21, to watch the calves being born. So talking about foot traffic, you have a lot of people that come in and out to see the animals. You have a lot of schools and families.
The education department at the farm has grown quite a bit. I mean, it's always been there. It's at a little bit of a different level now. I think it's a lot more of a focus to people in this state that want to know a lot more about where their food's coming from. And I think that's kind of happened more or less in the last couple of years, as people realize that what they're getting at a normal grocery store isn't what they want for their kids or for their family. So as that has transitioned, I think a lot more people want to come to the farm and see the animals and see how they're getting taken care of, and know that, you know, it could be their neighbor as the person that's feeding them in the morning, or it could be a student that they have in class that's down there after school helping out. So, you know, it involves a lot of people in the community, people that need volunteer hours, or high school students that, you know, that are need those hours can come and work there. So it's more of like of a family, you know, of people, and not that we're all related, but we're all there together doing kind of accomplishing the same task.
What has it been like for you to be a part of a family that works on a farm together? This is your grandfather, Charlie, is 88. And today, as we're recording this, I know that your uncle once was a manager also, and your father has been involved, and you really, this is something that a lot of people don't have. They don't get to see their fathers, grandfathers, uncles on a day-to-day basis as part of work. What's that like for you?
Well, it's an awesome thing. It allows me to kind of work off of them. I see them all the time. I mean, and we all live within 5 miles of each other. So, it becomes difficult to be able to, you know, find ways to separate life and business. But it's a lifestyle that we live and we choose to live. And my dad takes care of the campground, so a lot of times in the summer I don't get to see him. I've got a July birthday, so that's during the middle of hay season, so I don't really get to see too many people in that time. So it's more like the winter time is when we get to, you know, get together and enjoy ourselves a little bit more as a family. But my uncle is a carpenter at the farm as kind of a retirement, hanging around, getting things done, helping us make the, you know, improvements. And my grandfather is still around, lives on the farm. I live on the farm, so it's a unique experience. I think it's unique that there's three generations still alive, still down there, still working hard. But I think what makes it special is that, you know, as I struggled to kind of get through high school and going into vocational school, I didn't necessarily, it wasn't a big concern to me about learning kind of the math and the English. It was more, how do I get to be a plumber, an electrician, a mechanic, a farmer? What is it? What part of this class teaches me about that? You know, so as I was, people were saying, you know, you need to study hard and you need to do these things, I'm thinking, how quickly can I get out there and put my hands on these topics? So, and that's where my family comes to play, is they all excel in a specific area. And so as we all come together as one, well, they call that farmers. I mean, those are the people that can do a little bit of everything, you know. So so it's important to have everybody involved, because I think that helps make you kind of a multi-purpose person.
You graduated from Freeport High School.
Mm-hmm.
And as you just mentioned, you had some vocational training, but you also did standards, English, and math.
Absolutely,
and all of those things. Did you know when you were going through that you would someday be a manager at the farm?
No, not at all. I went my junior year is when I started at the Maine Vocation Region 10 in Brunswick, and I started there knowing that I wanted to go for automotive. My dad's older brother, Richard, runs a garage in Freeport, and I've kind of watched him and his success there. And so I thought, well, if I go to be a mechanic and I kind of maybe follow Richard's footsteps, I could start, you know, run my own garage. I've always wanted to be kind of working for myself. It's enjoyable to kind of be your own boss and to make your own mistakes and to learn and to and then succeed. And that's, you know, I thought that if being, you know, becoming a mechanic, I could do that in Freeport, and that people are always going to be driving cars. So that's why I went into the mechanic part of it. When I went to the vocational school, I then realized that there's a lot more to it than just, you know, day-to-day maintenance. There's a lot of tricks and a lot of different things that you learn on a vehicle that I use every day at the farm. And that program at the Maine Vocation School brought me to Central Maine Community College, which is where I went to college, only because my teacher knew that was a good fit for me. I had already paid to go to another school. I had already decided to go to Massachusetts and go to a certificate school. And he said, no. I know your family. I know who you are. I know what you are going to do, even though you don't think you're going to be doing it. I want you to go to I want you to take the day off and go up to Central Maine and do that program. So I did, and I ended up pulling out of the School of Massachusetts to go to CMCC, and went there for automotive. And that was kind of when I realized, working in a dealership like my fellow classmates probably wasn't going to be a good fit. So that was, schooling was mainly trying to figure out who I was and what kind of what other people were thinking of doing and what I was going to do differently.
That's a lot to do. That's a lot to handle. I mean, mm-hmm. This is, you're 25.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people by the time they're 25 still don't know exactly what they're going to do. Still are trying to figure out what that all looks like. Was there some moment that, some aha moment where you said, oh, wait, I know what I want to do now?
Probably a lot of it has to go to the fact that when I was a baby, when I was a year old, my uncle, who was the operations manager at the farm, passed away. And when he left, he had, not only was he taking over my grandfather's legacy at Wolf Neck, he was also running his own farm. He had two girls there. He had all his own excavation equipment. He had, you know, he had built himself a life at, you know, before he was probably 30 that was something that I would want to do and have all the equipment and have all the toys and be able to kind of live that dream of just being able to do kind of what you want on your own schedule. And that was what he was doing. And I, when he passed away and as I got older and kind of learned more about what he was doing, I thought, well, geez, that, you know, he went to be a mechanic. He went to school to be a mechanic. Why can't I just, you know, as I got older, my grandmother would say, oh, you remind me so much of David. You remind me so much of David. I thought, you know, I never got to know David, but I got to know that, I got to learn what he was as a person. And so I feel that since my grandmother's passed away and you know, my grandfather kind of tells me a little bit more about kind of what David was doing, it's a lot like what I'm trying to do, you know, and starting to do. So I think a lot of it just has to do with the family is keeps on going, even when we have a tragedy like that. And so I it really boils down to what my family's been doing and how happy they seem to be, you know, and that's what I'm looking for.
I heard the word toys. I mean, I think that's what I think of my son and my nephews and just the awe that they have when they look at farm machinery or trucks or vehicles. I mean, there is this sense of joy and that you get to play with a big thing that moves. And for you, that must be great because you actually know how to fix it.
I enjoy the outdoors a lot, and I do. I have ATVs and snowmobiles, and so I like to, when I go on vacation, I like to make sure I've got a big trailer behind me with a bunch of good stuff on it. But a lot of it, too, is old farm equipment. I've got an antique tractor. My grandfather has an antique tractor. We go to the fairs and do the antique tractor pulls. And, you know, engines are a hobby of mine, and so it's kind of fun to be able to wheel and deal and buy things that I can use on the farm that will maybe make me money in the wintertime, plowing snow and stuff like that. So it's a hobby, and it's definitely something, you know, that I've always loved doing, and I'd like to keep doing it, you know.
How early do you get up in the morning?
Very variable. It's funny. I get up at 3 every morning to stoke the wood stove because I live in the oldest house in Freeport. No insulation, so I'm up early doing the wood fire, and then it's pretty much coffee time, and then I hit the door, I don't know, about 7:30 to get to the farm, and that's about 8, about the time everybody kind of starts getting going at the beef operation that, you know, or the feeding operation that we currently are right now. Once we get to dairy, I'm sure it'll be hours before that, but it's the afternoon that kind of takes over, you know, when you get home at like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and that's kind of when you wind down the day.
That's a long day.
It's a lifestyle, you know. You're doing some of your own things, doing a lot of the farm things, doing, you know, you're getting what you need to get done and what the farm needs to have done and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it seems like a long day, but it keeps you busy. I mean, you get up in the morning and you're not punching in. I'm not punching a time clock or anything. I'm getting up when I get up and hitting the road, and when the job's done, that's when you get home.
And also there's a cyclical nature to it. So in the winter you do a certain set of jobs, and the spring it looks different, and the summer
and the
fall.
You get to sleep in, and then in the summertime it gets pretty crazy, especially I run the haying operation for the farm, and so all of the maintenance that goes in before you even start the day. I mean, we might not start cutting hay until the dew settles, and that's sometimes 11 o'clock. And so you're up and you're sharpening and you're greasing and you're changing oil and fueling things up. And that takes a lot of time. Plus you're trying to get other people orchestrated on what their day-to-day task is going to be while you're out in the field. And then the spring and the fall, it's so muddy down at the farm. I mean, we're right on the water. We've got heavy clay soils. Every water just sets right on top of it. So, you know, you're just trying to keep people from, you know, going out on the fields early and running things up. So, you know, there's definitely a seasonal position, that's for sure.
And the weather, that's something that I wouldn't have thought about, is the clay and the running the fields.
Oh, totally,
and...
yeah. Yeah, thank God for smartphones, because I have my Weather Channel app, and you know, if I'm up before, I can watch the news, or if I miss the news in the morning, then at least I can look at my phone and be able to know what the day is going to look like, because a lot of it is weather dependent. You know, if it's raining out, you're not in the fields, you know, or if it's, you know, that December 1st manure spreading deadline comes up and you're out in the fields in the rain trying to get it done as quick as possible. You know, it's a lot of it has to do with what the weather looks like and what kind of restrictions you're working against. I mean, we're on the water, so we have a lot of restrictions. You know, we can't graze too close to the water, and we have to be careful about the amount of animals that we have close to the water and drainage. And you know, if animals are to get out, we're right on some pretty major roads, and they're heavily traveled in the summertime. Especially we've got a huge campground there, so there's over 120 campsites. So start getting a lot of that kind of traffic coming in and out. It's really crucial to keep everything in and safe. And so, you know, it is. It's very weather dependent. It's very seasonal dependent. And you know, the summertime's our busy season, but it's only busy because it's so hectic. I mean, the rest of the year, you're still just as busy. You're still working the same hours. You're just kind of doing it at a little bit either different pace or, you know, totally different projects. Or working under a roof, which I'm not used to doing.
You've had to be pretty flexible, it sounds like. You've had to be flexible because of the rain, the snow, the time of year, it seems like some of what you do is planning, and some of what you do is, okay, what's right in front of me right now?
Yeah, I think the majority of it's right, what you get when you wake up and what it's doing outside. You know, when it snows, I've got a small plowing business, so when it snows, I'm out plowing snow, but I know that I have somebody else who covers, who goes and feeds the animals. And you can plan things, but you better write it down, because you're not going to remember it. Because you get down there and there's a water tub that's frozen, or, you know, a circuit breaker's tripped, and you got to figure out why, you know, the animals come first and they need to make sure that they're fed and watered. So a lot of it, it's all about just kind of writing it down and prioritizing things. And then, of course, your 10 extra things you get every day that are things you didn't expect, you know.
Kind of reminds me of being a doctor. You can have a plan for the person sitting in front of you, but whatever it is that they show up with, you just got to deal with when they're there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you work with younger people when they come on the farm? Do you work with people who might want to be farmers themselves, or?
Not my job in particular. I think there's people, you know, my job is the operations manager. I'm on equipment all the time, and it's not a two-seater, you know, and unless it's a truck, you know, and it's not like I'm really bringing people around and showing them what I do, just because my job is so kind of equipment oriented. I'm always, you know, if I'm cutting hay, people sometimes will come and watch, but a lot of the younger involvement is with my coworkers that are either that's their job or they're in the barn more than I am. You know, my job isn't in particular to like go out there and be in doing new, like animal nutrition or being the vet or anything like that. I mean, a lot of my job has to do with you know, the day-to-day operations and safety and stuff for the people that are there. So my interaction with younger people is only when we have big volunteer days, you know, and that's when people are coming, you know, businesses or schools are coming and they want to, you know, help us accomplish some tasks.
So if somebody were interested in the type of work that you're doing and working on a farm, being an operations manager, since you don't have a chance to talk to people coming onto the farm about this sort of thing, what would you tell that person?
I mean, we do job shadowing. I've had some people that have come to the farm and worked there that their high school asks them to do a job shadow, and I love doing things like that. There's always time to help young people. I mean, I'm young myself, but somebody obviously did it for me, so I'm willing to do it for them. And I think that my story is a bit unique because of how young I am and the position that I'm in now, and kind of how quickly it all happened. I think that I'm always open to have people come follow me around the farm, especially because I'm pretty good at getting work out of people.
I like that. So if somebody wants to come find out what you do, they have to be prepared to actually do it with you.
Yeah, you don't show up without boots on, that's for sure.
It's really interesting for me to think about your grandfather coming to Maine from Massachusetts with a specific intent of working on a farm, and in fact, coming from a dairy farm. And now Wolf Neck is going to become an organic dairy operation again.
Yes.
And in fact, train other farmers to offer organic dairy. That's a kind of a funny, it's almost like it was meant to happen or something.
Yeah, it is kind of becoming like a circle of events. I mean, I think when I first mentioned it to my grandfather, he thought, "Are you feeling all right? What are you doing? This is you understand this is 5 in the morning, 5 at night, milking 7 days a week. This is a total lifestyle. This isn't just what you think is a lifestyle." And I was over there with a coworker of mine, and he kept saying, "Well, who are you going to have do this, and who are you going to have do that?" And we're saying, "Well, Grandpa, they have equipment that does that now. You don't just bring a wooden, seat and a bucket and start milking. I mean, this is like a legit. We're using equipment and machinery, and it is definitely going to be a difficult change for us. But Wolf's Neck Farmer's purpose has been to raise natural meat and beef, and that has since changed. And to be doing something that kind of puts Wolf Neck on the map, the state of Maine on the map, New England on the map. Young adults that want to be in this field. I mean, this is an opportunity for people to share a similar story that I have, and that is someone's giving you the opportunity. I mean, I could be in a dealership right now turning wrenches, and there's people that do that, and they're happy doing that, and that's great. But being a farmer means that you're dedicating your life to something, and there's people that work on Saturdays, and there's people that led the night shift. That's and you think, "Oh man, I'd hate to have to work Saturday night or have to work through the night." But they're looking at you saying, "I'd hate to be working 7 days a week and milking twice a day." I mean, everybody has a specific purpose in life, I think, and to be given an opportunity in which you can, do what you think is best for you. I think that being a dairy farmer is an exciting experience for myself and for these young folks that want to do it as well. It gives them an opportunity, and it's in a perfect location. Freeport is so close to everything. That's why I'm there. I mean, I've traveled. I used to drive a truck for a company and go out west and 8 months out of the year, and I did that for 3 years and came back and said, it's got a little bit of everything, so it's a unique place. And I think that even though my grandfather thinks we're going crazy going dairy, I think what started the farm being such a success is that he had a dairy background, and he knew animal nutrition, and he knew how to take care of animals, and he touched those animals twice a day every day. Even though he wasn't milking them, that didn't matter. His business was keeping his animals happy and healthy, and I think that's what brought on a good business to begin with, and it's a good business model, and that's what we're going to do. Just milking instead, So it's a good opportunity for the farm.
Well, I encourage people who are listening to read the article that was written by Sandy Lang and photographed by Peter Frank Edwards for Maine Magazine. Also, of course, visiting Wolf Neck Farm, that's always a possibility, although if they're going to visit, they have to put their boots on and be prepared to work if they're going to be with you. Well, we've been speaking with Matt DeGrandpre, who's the farm operations manager at Wolf Neck Farm, who's carrying on the family legacy, and happy birthday to your 88-year-old grandfather, Charlie. I appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule and talking to me about what you're doing. It's very different than what I do in my life, but extremely valuable, and it's really wonderful that you and your family are doing this for us. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.